Hello, everyone, and welcome to Between the Sessions, coming to you from the beautiful Palm Beaches, Florida. Between the Sessions is a podcast for meetings industry professionals presented by the Palm Beaches. Now, our mission is to inspire those in the business events industry with new and innovative ideas and discuss important developments impacting the meetings industry in the U.S. and globally. I'm your host, Suzanne Boyd, and today I am so excited to be joined by Kelly Cavers, who is the Chief Sales Officer at Discover the Palm Beaches and the new co-host of the podcast. Welcome, Kelly.
Thank you, Suzanne. I'm so excited also. It's a great time to be co-hosting this with you. You know, I've been in the business for over 25 years. First started with United Airlines, spent 10 years with United, and then moved over to the San Diego Convention and Visitors Bureau, which is now the San Diego Tourism Authority. Spent some time at Choose Chicago for about 4 years. And then 7 years ago, I came down here to beautiful Palm Beach County and have been leading the sales and services efforts here at Discover the Palm Beaches. So I'm really excited to be a part of this podcast.
Well, you've already been a part of it for a while, haven't you?
I have. Yeah. Absolutely. But now as a co-host in an elevated position.
Yes.
So today, I'm really excited. We have a special guest with us today, Rosemarie Rossetti. She's an advocate for accessibility and a disability inclusion expert. Welcome, Rosemarie.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself and some of the services that you provide as an accessibility consultant.
Well, I'm speaking to you from my home office in Columbus, Ohio, from my wheelchair. So you need to understand that I have been a person using a wheelchair since my injury, June 13th of 98, when I had a spinal cord injury and was paralyzed from the waist down. I was a speaker at the time and a trainer and a writer and a consultant, and I had to change and pivot my business totally. I got the idea to talk to the meeting professionals. Who better than me to talk about especially what needs to happen at meetings and events, not only from the aspect of being the speaker, but also from being one of the people in the audience. So I pivoted my business and expanded it to talk about the accommodations that were going to be needed for people with disabilities, including mobility, cognition, vision, and hearing. Then I became a consultant. I started working with associations and organizations that wanted to bring me in on the planning side, wanted to take me with them on the site visit and experience their meeting to be there serving as a concierge. So my business has pivoted since my injury. You can learn a lot about me and about what I do at my website, rosemariespeaks.com.
Well, that's such an inspiring story, and it sounds like you're right where you're supposed to be. You know, Rosemarie, there are so many types of accessibility, as I'm sure you know. Where do you think planners should start when they're creating accessible events?
Well, it starts with the RFP as they're sending out the request to find the ideal venue, the ideal situation. So taking a look at your RFPs to make sure there's an accessibility section in there. Once the facility has been selected, the hotels, the convention center, the meeting space, all of that needs to have a site visit. And so as you're bringing your meeting professionals to the site, bring an accessibility consultant with you, so that you can do some training, you can do some scoping, you can talk about what might be a better idea, moving things from one room to another, particularly changing around what you thought you were going to be doing to make that more accessible, not only for the venue itself, but if you've got off-site meetings, those are also very important to take a look at how to transport people from one convention center or one hotel or between hotels to an off-site event. There's a lot involved. And of course, the budget has to be beefed up. There's going to be some costs involved in hiring sign language interpreters, figuring out what vendors are available to rent scooters, and to have captioning on the large screen as well as in the breakout rooms. And if you're doing some virtual events, considering sign language interpreters as well as captioning for those virtual events.
Wow. When you said that to bring an accessibility consultant, have you been hired by the planner to go as an accessibility consultant?
Yes, I just returned 2 weeks ago from Seattle with my client, the Association of the American Medical Colleges. So I was on their site at the new convention center in Seattle. It just opened in January, the 6 floors, and also looked at the previous sections. They're using 8 different hotels. They're using 3 of them for their meeting sites. So we spent a day and a half with the representative from Visit Seattle and with the representative from the convention center and all 3 hotels, going through the plans and looking at the facility as well as the city.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, and you had talked about sign language interpreters and closed captioning, and those are obviously must-haves for accessibility at different types of events. What are some other must-haves that maybe some planners don't think about on their own?
Well, the accessibility of getting into the venue is the first thing. Are they driving in? So is there enough accessible parking for the population that you're serving? If you're serving a population like the Paralyzed Veterans of America, you're going to have a lot of people in wheelchairs. So they're going to need transportation from the airport that's been arranged with accessible vehicles and vans to transport them to the hotel. And they're also going to need parking if they're driving in. So thinking in terms of the whole arriving at the city, at the airport, how are they going to get there? And once they're there, what is the accessible entrance? Is there only one to the building? That needs to be clearly indicated as the getting to know you and the accessibility section of your meeting website so people understand the best entrance is this one, and having power doors there so they can get in quite easily.
So as you talk about accessibility for live events, is there any advice or tidbits that you can share with regards to designing accessible for virtual events?
Yeah, there's some similarities in terms of captions, and those are pretty easy for a virtual presentation to enable those. But here's something that people don't think about. If you've got people who are blind or low vision, and you've got slides there, they don't have the ability possibly to see them. And I recently did a virtual program for the U.S. Department of Accessibility, and I realized in the audience there was going to be a lot of people who would not see my slides. And so I had to describe what was on every single slide. You know, I had to read it to them. I had to describe the visual because they were not able to see those slides. I also described what I look like so they could understand my physique in terms of hair color, wearing glasses, what my age was, what my ethnicity was. So people don't think that through. If you know your audience is blind or low vision, you've got to describe and tell the speaker in advance because most speakers won't be ready to do that. And also sharing the slides in advance, letting the speaker convert it to a PDF and giving the audience who needs those slides in advance that might be able to have a better view of it with some vision.
You had talked about an accessibility section on your website, which is a really great way for people coming in to know the accessibility services that are going to be available. Are there other recommendations that planners can use to communicate what those accessibility services and options are?
Well, go to the ADA. That might be a first stop, ada.gov, and either call them. They've got a live telephone operator there that can guide you. Basically, it's a communication document for meeting professionals. That's the main one there. So if you're at ada.gov, just type in accessible meetings or accessible communication at meetings. That's where the ADA really stands very strong. Now, you can get all sorts of checklists. I bet I have 50 of them from different universities and organizations. As you look at checklists for accessible meetings, you'll be overwhelmed with what you find.
So you speak at many different conferences and events, and you consult, you know, on site inspections and things of that nature. Can you share with us any innovative things that you've seen lately at a meeting or a conference?
Yes, I just returned in July from the annual meeting of Disability Inn. Maybe you're not familiar with that, but if you look at Disability Inn on their website, you'll understand that this is an organization catered to people with disabilities, helping especially entrepreneurs like myself who own a business and have a disability to certify that business as disability-owned business enterprise. So they had thousands of people attending their annual meeting in July in Orlando at two different hotels that were adjoined together. I was blown away with what they had told me in advance, all of the emails that came my way, all the get to know you, know before you go, plus their app had their own accessibility section on the app. When I arrived at the hotel to try and find out where do I go to register, there were very large, sticky signs on the carpet that said registration, Disability Inn with arrows. So being in a wheelchair, I want to not travel throughout the hotel to find where to go to register. So these markers on the carpet, I thought were very innovative. I've not seen them before. They also had wonderful large posters. They were probably 8 feet tall with maps of both hotels showing where you were throughout the conference. And then when I went to the registration area, lo and behold, all of the tables, the countertops were low, the entire area, so that people of short stature or using scooters or wheelchairs rolled up right to those tables and could have a face-to-face conversation, getting their lanyard and their name tag quite easily. So those were impressive, I thought, new ideas.
Tell us a little bit more, Rosemary, about your partnership with PCMA.
That's been almost a couple of years now working with them. They hired me to be in Columbus, Ohio, where I live. And I'm like, I get to stay in my own bed and drive only 20 minutes to the Columbus Convention Center, where they had convening leaders last January. So I was thrilled. I did an accessibility tour of the Greater Columbus Convention Center. I had gone there before, met with the staff, identified what were the accessibility features that the convention center already had in place so that I could show the about 25 people that followed me. These were meeting professionals and these were destination marketing organization administrators. So we went through about an hour, hour and a half of the Greater Columbus Convention Center. I also then critiqued what PCMA had done prior to that hour when we were together, saying, do you remember when you went to the opening reception? Here are some things that I would have done differently to make it more accessible and more convenient to get food and to network with people. So I was able to give some feedback to PCMA. That was the first thing I did. They loved it. The valuations were glowing. And so they invited me to come back in June. And I traveled to Montreal and had an awesome experience at EDUCON. This time, the accessibility tour was at the Fairmont Queen Elizabeth Hotel. And we rented nine manual wheelchairs, so that the meeting professionals could have that option to tour with me and wheel with me through the hotel. And I'm telling you, that made an incredible awareness experience to understand how hard it was to roll on the carpet, how quickly the elevators would close on you, how heavy the doors were to try and get into the main ballroom or the breakout rooms and going into the restrooms, opening doors from the inside and out. So that's my experience, two of them, with PCMA in accessibility tours.
That's great. So as we talk about the meetings industry and where it's going, where do you think it's going in regards to accessibility and how the industry is evolving?
Well, based on what PCMA is doing, they're looking at more accessibility tours, not only for mobility, but also for sight and hearing. So I think they're going to be progressing quite a bit, moving, expanding mobility, and of course, going to the other types of mobility and accessibility for hearing and for sight. I get called quite a bit to do different programs, not only with meeting professionals, but with destination marketing organizations that realize that they are missing the market. I mean, 27% of the population is identified as having a disability, and they travel, they spend money. So we're looking at bringing more attention to the websites for the destination marketing organizations.
You had mentioned the ADA as a really key resource for planners. Any other resources that can help them with accessibility issues and planning for their events?
There are a lot, and I am not a person who can memorize all of them. I would just suggest using a search of checklist or resources for accessible meetings and events. There are books, there are articles, there are checklists everywhere. My website is loaded with articles, loaded with videos, loaded with other podcasts and interviews. But of course, I'm biased in that I am the person who produced the content. But there are a lot of other wonderful leaders out there, as well as organizations that support disability awareness, not only for the meetings and events, but also for the websites, for the digital accessibility, so that websites can be read with screen readers. There's a lot to do to have your website also accessible digitally.
So, you know, when you're attending a meeting, a lot of times here in the Palm Beaches, we like to say we elevate that between the sessions experience. So for you as an attendee, it makes it very meaningful. It makes it memorable. You know, a lot of times, you know, the content is very important, but what happens between the sessions? So through the lens of someone that is looking at things to make sure that it's accessible for all, is there any favorite memory or activity or something that you saw somewhere, like a between the sessions experience, that made it really meaningful to say, you know what, this destination or this vendor really understands?
Well, and also, does the audience understand? And if I go back to a recent event, it'd be the PCMA EduCon. We actually filmed the debriefing for both of the accessibility tours. And I was so shocked when we asked them, is it important to have wheelchairs on this tour? Or can we go back to what we did in Columbus and not have wheelchairs? And it was 1,000%. The wheelchairs were important to them. And the awareness level was heightened so much as a result of actually participating in rolling around, seeing what the slopes were like on the ramps, and experiencing getting in and out of an elevator. They then understood that when you're planning an agenda, you may need 30 minutes as a transition between one meeting and another just to get through the hotel and to use the restroom. Otherwise, you're going to have people who are frustrated and come in late and there's no seating available to them. So those were things that really stuck with me. And another in particular, one gentleman had a son with a disability. He lives in a condo on a tower. So he said, you know, it got me thinking when you were talking about how would someone evacuate a person in a wheelchair that was on the hotel floor, not on the ground floor, but had to get down some steps because the elevator is not safe. And he said, you got me thinking about my son. He's heavy and I won't be able to carry him in a fire emergency down the steps. You told me about a safety chair, an evacuation chair that I didn't even know existed. And so I'm going to be investing, he said, in buying an evacuation chair for our condo. So if I ever had to get my son out on the staircase, I would have an easier time because I know that chair would be easy for me to put him in and get him down to the main floor to safety. So that was one very memorable experience.
Yeah.
Wow. I just got chills. I mean, that's something you just, you know, most people don't think about, but these are really important things that need to be discussed and considered when planning. So, Rosemary, what tip or piece of advice would you want to share with our listeners? We call it swag, which typically means stuff we all get, but our swag is a little bit different. It's a piece of advice. So what's one thing through all of your consulting and being at these different events that you would leave with the planners?
Know who your audience is, know who's coming. Find out from the registration with the appropriate questions to identify those who are registering for the meetings and what accommodations they're needing. That's the biggest tip I could give. And so if you had 4,600 people coming to your conference, would you have 40 of them that all had a request for something, either for mobility or for hearing or for sight? So that you understood those 40 people needed something that you have to find vendors for or make sure that you've arranged for that on your on-site visit.
That's great.
So, Rosemary, I would just want you to give us your website once again and how listeners, if they have any questions for you or want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
Well, it's very simple. My name, rosemariespeaks.com. How easy is that for a website? rosemariespeaks.com. rosemariespeaks.com. And there's a special section for the meeting professional. That's the one to go to. And of course, to get me by email, you just go rosemary@rosemariespeaks.com. And I'd be happy to entertain a discussion, a discovery, or answer your questions or be considered to serve you for your next conference.
Thank you for your time and really for enlightening us. You know, there's one thing that I really thought about is that as a destination, we should offer that as a service because we like to provide complimentary services. So the opportunity to say, we have an accessibility consultant at a service during a site inspection. I think sometimes people don't think or don't fully realize maybe what they're not thinking of, and this might open their eyes. So you've definitely enlightened me on some areas where we need to look into of how we can better serve all audiences. So I thank you for that.
Well, thank you for that idea. That's a wonderful way for me to expand my reach to help more people.
That's great.
All right, Rosemary, thank you so much for joining us on Between the Sessions. Between the Sessions is part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Thank you for tuning in and make sure you join us on LinkedIn at The Palm Beaches or head to our website, thepalmbeaches.com/meetings. Also, we'd love it if you would subscribe to this podcast and leave a review on your favorite podcast platform. Thank you all for joining us. This has been an episode of Between the Sessions.